Morning, everyone. We'll make a wee start just to our meeting today by singing together the hymn number 13 in our hymn book, first hymn in the order of service. Alleluia, sing to Jesus. His the scepter, his the throne. Alleluia, his the victory alone. Hark the songs of holy Zion. Thunder like a mighty flood, Jesus out of every nation have redeemed us by his blood. Wonderful words of truth, praising and exalting Christ and his great work of redemption for his people. We'll keep our seats while we sing, and singing it heartily unto the Lord. Just unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us just look to the Lord today, praying for the Lord to draw near and bless our coming together in this time of worship. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal Father in heaven, We come, O God, into thy presence today through no merit of our own. But we come to thee today through Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, the one who is indeed our surety, the one who died the just for us, the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And Father, we thank that Christ is one who was without sin or blemish, that he kept the law of God perfectly for us. And Father, we thank thee that as our substitute upon the cross, he bore the penalty of our sin in full. And Father, we thank thee for his finished work today. We thank thee for that once for all sacrifice for sin. And Father, we thank thee for the precious blood of Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. And we rejoice, O God, today in that acceptance and that favor, O God, that we have with thee, even through thy Son, Christ the Savior. And Father, we thank thee that Christ died for us, that he rose again the third day. We thank thee, O God, that Christ is alive forevermore. He is alive never to die again. And Father, we thank thee that he is at thy right hand in heaven's glory as our intercessor, as our great high priest. Now, Father, we thank thee also that there's a day coming when Christ will come back to this world in power and in great glory. And on that day, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And, O God, we thank thee today that because of Christ we can bring our needs and our cares before thee in prayer. We can call thee Abba, our Father. And, Father, we thank thee that when we come to the throne of grace today, that there is a scepter of grace and mercy is stretched out toward us. We thank thee it's not a throne of wrath or of judgment, but a throne of mercy and a throne of grace. And, O God, we thank thee for this thy day. And, O God, we pray for thy blessing upon us from this door is opened this morning and till it would be closed tonight in thy will, we pray. We pray, Lord, that we might know a gracious sense of the presence of God in our midst today. Close out every thought and care that is not of thee. Help us, Lord, to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Grant, Lord, that the thoughts of our heart and the words, O God, of our lips would be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Do cleanse us afresh, O God, in the precious blood from all our sins and all our iniquities, we pray. And Father, we ask, O God, for the outpouring of thy Spirit upon us this day. Lord, may we know thee drawing very near. We thank thee, O God, that thou hast said, tarry ye until ye be endued with power from on high. And Lord, we pray for that infilling of the Spirit of God with power to worship thee and to serve thee and to live for thee and for thine honor and glory. We thank thee for our Sunday school this morning and every boy and girl present. And as they prepare for Children's Day, may they know the help and the blessing of the Lord. Bless all the teachers as well and encourage them in this great work. And Father, we pray for our children and our young people that they would be saved and walking in the ways of the Lord and guided in the paths of God. And Lord, protect them from the ungodly ways of this world, we ask. We thank you for all who have been able to join with us here today and think of those listening in online as well. Bless every family and household represented. Do unite all our family circles in the Lord, we ask of thee. Remember, Lord, those that cannot be with us today because of age and sickness and infirmity. The Lord bless them and strengthen them and touch them in their body. And we think of those that have been recently through surgery. May they know the touch of God upon them. And others, Lord, that mourn and grieve, we pray that thou wilt comfort their hearts and be their helper in their time of need. And Lord, we would pray for thy blessing upon our congregation here. Remember the work of the Bethel Children's Crusade and every other outreach from our congregation, our youth, our children's meetings. May thy hand of blessing be upon them. And Father, have mercy upon this town and upon this county, we pray. Pour out thy Spirit upon it and turn the hearts of many unto the Lord. Do bless our land today, O God. Bless each of our sister congregations. We pray for every minister and student and layman alike who will preach thy word. And Lord, wherever thy word would be faithfully proclaimed today, we think of the south of Ireland,
Think of here in Northern Ireland. We think of England and Scotland and Wales. Have mercy upon these islands, we pray. And Lord, give an ear again, Lord. Unstop deaf ears. Soften hardened hearts. And may hearts be softened to the word of God. And may ears be open to hear the word of God. And Father, we pray for that hunger, that thirst, for the truth of God in our land. And that thou will come in revival and in days of reformation. Remember, Lord, those that rule in our land, may they realize there's an accountability to God, and may they rule in righteousness and in the fear of God. May they seek to honor thy word and honor thy truth and honor thy ways, O God, we pray. And Lord, we pray for our queen and royal family. Have mercy upon them, O God, we ask. And Father, we pray that the light of thy truth, the light of the gospel, will shine into that household powerfully, we pray. Remember our missionaries today, O God. We thank thee for those that have gone at the call of God and left home and family and loved ones and the comforts of home. Lord, bless them. Watch over them today and protect them and encourage them in the Lord. Again, put thy restraining hand upon this virus in our land. We give thee thanks for thy mercies even in recent times concerning this. So Lord, may this continue. And Lord, we pray that men and women in our society will realize that God is on the throne and that there will be that looking to thee at this time, we pray. Abide with us now. Bless us around thy word today. Remember our time around the table of the Lord. Draw very near as we remember Calvary. And Lord, may our hearts and souls be melted and revived and refreshed by the mighty grace and power of God. For we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Now we're going to turn, please, in God's Word for Bible reading this morning to the book of the Psalms, to the Psalm number 19. I want to read some verses with you from the opening part of that Psalm, Psalm 19. And then we're turning over to the New Testament book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13, and reading just the first 8 verses of that chapter. So if you'd like to mark those two passages in your Bible, reading first of all from Psalm 19, and then from Hebrews chapter number 13. We're going to read Psalm 19 verses 1 to 6, just the opening 6 verses of the psalm. Here you read about the revelation of God's glory in creation. And verse 1 of Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork." What a statement that is. As you look at the night sky, look at the stars, the moon, look at the planets away in the distance of the universe. Remember that all is the handiwork of God. God is the creator. There's no such thing as the lie of evolution. God is the one who has created this world and spoken this world into existence in 6 literal days. Verse 2 says, "Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the earth. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and a circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof." And then turning, please, over to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, and beginning a reading there at the verse 1 of the chapter. "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen." We'll end our reading there
at verse number 8. And our prayer is that God will bless this reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. I want to welcome everyone this Lord's Day morning. It's good to see so many gathered with us here today in the house of God. Welcome those viewing online as well. Prayer is today, if you're a believer, may you be encouraged in the Lord. If you're not saved, that this day would become the very day of your salvation. If you're visiting with us, we always extend a special welcome to visitors. It's nice to have you joining with us today. And our prayer is the Lord will bless you around God's word. Do remember that today, being the first Sunday of the month, is building fund offering. So do remember that offering, please. Immediately after the service this morning is the Lord's table. And that is open to all who are saved and walking in fellowship with the Lord. If you know the Lord as Savior and walking in fellowship with him, then the Lord invites you to remember his death in his own appointed way. We trust as many as possible will gather for that season around the table of the Lord. And the gospel service tonight at 7 o'clock, I belong to bring God's word. Remember that meeting. Plan to join with us and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word also this evening. Tomorrow afternoon, we're hoping to meet here at the church at 2 o'clock just to recommence door-to-door outreach. And we'll just be letterboxing the material just from about 2 till about 3:30. And if you can help and gather with us for that, we'll be delighted to see. If not, then do pray that God will bless the literature as it would go out around the doors again, that God would bless the printed page and use it to the salvation of souls and the encouragement of saints. Now, Tuesday night, 6:30, the children's meeting in Tresna, and then 8 o'clock here, the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. Do remember that and commit that to as many as possible. Trust you'll be able to gather with us for the season of prayer. And then also at 9:30, there'll be a short meeting of the church session. Ask the members of session to remember that, please. Friday night, 6:30, the weekly children's meeting, followed by the youth fellowship at 8 o'clock. We commend that to all the young people. This coming Saturday, 11 a.m., is the monthly open-air witness at the Diamond at 11 o'clock in the morning. Do pray for that. Pray for God's blessing upon it. And if you're free, do join with us there in the open air just for about half an hour in the gospel open-air witness Saturday morning. Next Lord's Day, the 13th of May, Sunday School and Bible class, 11 a.m., morning worship, 12 noon, the evening gospel service at 7. God willing, I'll be along to bring God's word. Our annual Children's Day service will be on the 20th of June. That's just really 2 weeks from today. The guest speaker is Mr. Noel Shields, speaking morning 12 noon, the afternoon at 3:30. And the boys and girls will all be taking part from our Sunday school morning and afternoon. So be much in prayer for this. Do make it known. It's always a very special day in our church calendar. Do all you can to invite and encourage family members and neighbors in under the sound of God's word. Let us make it a special day for outreach and do all we can to gather visitors in under the sound of God's word. There are wee invite cards for that out on the table in the porch, and we encourage you to take those and give them out to friends and family. And then on the Lord's Day, the 27th of June, that's the final Lord's Day evening of June at 7 o'clock, we'll see the recommencement of our drive-in outreach gospel services, and they will recommence in the Mark car park just down the road there, below the church there, just about half a mile or so down below the church there. We had those last year. They were very good means of outreach, and they will run really from Sunday night, the 27th of June, the final Lord's Day evening of June, right through to the first Lord's Day evening of August. Each Lord's Day evening in July at 7 o'clock, and then concluding with a three-night gospel mission, Friday night, the 30th of July, Saturday night, the 31st of July, and then the Lord's Day, the 1st of August, and the evangelist for that mission will be the Reverend John Morrow. So do remember that. Do pray for it. Make it known. Let us make that a special season of outreach. Do all we can to invite folk to come along, to sit in their cars and to listen to the gospel during those services that's commencing on the Lord's Day, the 27th of June. Again, a word of thanks to all who gave to the offering for the Bethel Children's Crusade on Tuesday night past. What came in the boxes and the plates came to £838.90, for which we thank you sincerely in the Lord. Then just a few prayer requests I want to leave with you as a congregation. Do please pray for our brother, the Reverend Thomas Laverty, who has just accepted a call to our Gardenstown congregation up in the north of Scotland. So pray for him as he goes to take up that work. Also do please pray for our brother, Mr. Glenn Wilkinson, a licentiate minister, who's just accepted a call as well to take up the work in our Londonderry congregation. So pray for him in that work as well. And do remember a young man, Mr. Andrew Irwin, who has been accepted into the Whitfield College to study in the Theological Hall. Do remember him in your prayers. He's the son of the Reverend Wesley Irwin. And pray that God's hand of blessing will be upon him for good as he commences his studies in September. That's really all by way of necessary announcements. We'll turn again to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter number 13. And before we come to the preaching of God's Word, perhaps we could just maybe stand to our feet for a brief word of prayer, just to change our position before we bring God's Word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us already in our meeting. And Lord, bless us now as we come to Thy Word. May Thy hand of blessing be upon us for good. Open our eyes today to behold wondrous things out of Thy law. Write Thy Word upon the tables of our hearts. Use Thy Word to the saving of souls, to the strengthening, the edifying of the saints of God, and to the glorifying of Christ. Fill me afresh with that Spirit that comes from on high, that double portion of the Spirit of God. Give help and power, wisdom, clarity, plainness, simplicity, right words, liberty, we pray, to proclaim Thy Word. And may every word be as thus and thus saith the Lord. We ask of Thee, for Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Now, the text of Scripture we want to base our message around today are the final words of verse number 5 of Hebrews chapter 13. Recent times we've been looking at some of the great promises of the Lord to His people. But today we come to the promise of the Lord's abiding presence with His people. And you have reference to that amazing promise in our text, the latter part there to verse number 5 of Hebrews chapter 13, where it says, "For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." The hymn writer says, "Change and decay in all around I see." And these words really tell us of a changing world. And that is a fact that no one can deny. The weather and the seasons, they change day by day, week by week, month by month. Indeed, the nations and the kingdoms of men, they change, they wane, they come, they go. Our workplaces, our jobs, our places of employment face change really on a daily basis. Our neighborhoods change. Places where we grew up as children are not the same today as what they once were. Our families, our home changes. Our children grow up, they leave the home. Sickness and infirmity, yes, can bring change. And the enemy of death itself can bring a deep and a painful change. Yes, dear people, you and I, we live in a changing world. Nothing in this world stays the same. There is change all around us. But although you and I live in a changing world, we praise God today that the Christian can rejoice in a Savior who never changes. And you see that from verse 8 of this chapter. Look at what it says there. It says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever." The Lord is one who never changes. Also, the Christian can rejoice in the Word of God, a Word also that never changes. Listen to what the psalmist says about God's Word. And Psalm 118, verse number 89, he says, "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven." And there he points to the fact that the Word of God, it does not change. It cannot change. And my one of the unfailing promises of the Lord to His people is that promise of His abiding presence. And the apostle makes mention of this wonderful promise in her text here at the end of verse 5 of Hebrews 13. When he says, "For he hath said, I will never leave thee and nor forsake thee." Yes, this promise rightly has been called the pilgrim's staff. In other words, it is a promise for the Christian to lean upon in their daily life. Yes, it is a promise that reminds the believer, yes, that they will one day be with the Lord in glory. But it is also a promise that
that reminds the believer that the Lord is with them, with his redeemed people in their earthly life and throughout their earthly pilgrimage. As we would look today at this wonderful promise of the Lord's abiding presence, there's a number of thoughts I want to share with you today in our meeting. Notice, first of all, here with me, the relevance of this promise. The relevance of this promise. It says there, "For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Notice that little phrase there, "For he hath said." And that really shows us here that the Lord has already made known this promise to his people on many past occasions. He has made this same promise known. He made it known to Jacob way at the beginning of time in the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 28, verse 15, the Lord there is speaking to Jacob, and this is what he says to him. He says, "And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." And when the Lord gave that promise to Jacob, it was a time of great fear in the life of Jacob. Jacob was leaving home. He was fleeing from the anger and the wrath of his brother Esau. But through this wonderful promise, the Lord brought great comfort and consolation to his soul. We can also say that the Lord gave this same wonderful promise to Israel, the nation, whenever they were about to enter into the land of Canaan. In Deuteronomy chapter 31 and the verse number 6 there, the Lord is speaking to Israel through his servant Moses, and this is what he says. He says, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." And again, it was a time of uncertainty. They were about to leave their journey in the wilderness and enter into the promised land of Canaan. They knew not what lay before them as he entered into that territory. Yet here the Lord comes with this encouragement that he would be with them. He would not fail them, nor forsake them. And again, the Lord gave this promise to Joshua, his young servant, who was to replace Moses as leader in Israel. Turn with me in your Bible back to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter number 1 and the verse number 5, and there you have reference to this promise. It says here the Lord is speaking to Joshua. He says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." And what a promise that was to Joshua. This was a new chapter in his life. A new sphere of service was opening up before him. And thus, by this promise of the Lord, he encouraged, he inspired Joshua with great confidence and courage as he would lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Then the Lord also gave this same promise to his disciples, just before his ascension up into heaven, when he gave them the great missionary commission. In Matthew 28, verse 20, the Lord there is speaking to his disciples about going forward with the gospel unto the ends of the earth. And he says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Yes, at a time, yes, of Christian endeavor and Christian service, this promise, no doubt, would have filled the disciples with hope, filled the disciples with zeal, as they went forward in the will of God unto the ends of the earth with the glorious gospel of Christ. Yes, throughout the Scripture, God has given this promise of his abiding presence many, many times to his people. And that really proves to us that this promise here in Hebrews 13 and verse number 5 is a promise really for all God's redeemed people, whoever they are, wherever they are in life. Our text says, "For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Oh, see here the relevance of this promise, child of God, to you this morning. Child of God, this promise, yes, is relevant to you today. Yes, this is a promise for you to depend upon today, dear Christian. It's a promise for you to lean upon like a staff every day of your Christian life. Believer, this is a promise for you to plead every time you come to pray and come to the throne of grace. I tell you today, this is a promise that is right up to date for your circumstance and situation today, whatever your lot is in life as a believer. Well, we see here the relevance of this promise to the people of God, to the church of Christ. But notice, secondly, the character of this promise. As we think of its character, we can say that this promise is really marked by clarity. The Lord says, I will never leave thee nor forsake. This promise there is short. There's just 8 words in it. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It's simple. It's easy to understand. Even a little child can understand it. A little child can remember it. It's easy to recall. The psalmist, speaking of God's word, says, I rejoice at thy word, as one that findeth great spoil. Believer, in our text, here you have a promise to rejoice in today. Here you have a promise to thank God for. It's clear, it's simple, it's easily understood, easily remembered. You can count it on the fingers of your 2 hands. We can also say that this is a promise that is marked not only by clarity, but a promise that is marked by certainty. Notice again how Paul mentions it in our text there. He says, for he have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake. That reminds us that the Lord himself is the giver of this promise. And the word of God is true. The word of God is sure. Christ says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. O believer, the promise of our text is certain. Certain for every single day of your Christian life, whatever your circumstances are. It was Campbell Morgan, the great preacher of London in a bygone day, who said, I believe the promises of God enough to venture an eternity upon them. He was rejoicing in the promises of God that they would never fail. Likewise, Christian, you can build your life around this great promise. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In this promise here, you have a firm rock. In this promise here, you have a sure foundation. You have an anchor. You have a promise here that will not fail, that is certain, that is sure in every situation of life that comes your way as a Christian. Also, we can say further, as we think about the character of this promise, that it is personal. Just look at the language here that is used. It says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Notice the word thee there mentioned, and the word he. It says, for he have said, it's personal, he and thee. Christian, this is a personal promise from the Lord to you. Child of God, it's as if the Lord has written this promise and posted it directly to you in his word. Your name, believer, is on this very promise. It's as if the Lord has given you this particular promise and he has given it to no one else. That's really the thought here behind the promise here being so personal. Now, there's no ifs or buts here in this promise. But Christian, it's a promise especially for you in the meeting today. Now, believer, as Christ has laid down his life for you at the cross, yes, he has laid down his life for us. He has redeemed us by his blood unto himself. The Bible says, believer, that you're redeemed by the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot and as his purchased possession. Get a hold of this truth today. There is no power on earth. There is no power in hell that can ever cause Christ to forsake you or to cast you off. It cannot be done. Because Christ has died and Christ has shed his blood. He has redeemed you unto himself by his blood, never to fail you, never to forsake you, never to cast you off. As his redeemed child. Turn with me in your Bible back to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8 and
Just look at what is said there in the final verses of that great chapter, Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Verse 38 and verse 39. It says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." And Paul there is focusing in those words upon the sacrifice, the redeeming work of Christ. And then he says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What a promise. Oh, believer, yes, you are sealed unto God through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Therefore, the Lord cannot fail you. Therefore, the Lord cannot forsake you. He cannot do that. For him to do that would be to deny his own word. And that is something God can never do. For him to do that would be to deny the redeeming work of Christ. And that is something that God will never do. The hymn writer says, "The soul that on Jesus have leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake." There the hymn writer was re-echoing the great truth of our text. When the Lord says to his people, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Yes, we see the character of this promise, the relevance of the promise. But notice finally here the blessings of this promise today. What are the blessings that flow from it? Well, you notice there how our text begins with the word "for." Paul says, "For he have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake." That word "for" there is important because it reminds us of the blessings that flow from this promise. Here the apostle, yes, is telling these Hebrew believers that on account of this wonderful promise, then there are certain blessings for them. And what are some of those blessings? Well, there's the blessing here of Christian contentment. Look at how Paul begins verse 5 of the chapter. He says to the Christian, to these Hebrew believers, indeed to you and I who are saved, he says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Believer, in having the Lord with us, we are to be content. Why? Because in having the Lord with us, we have all things. We lack nothing when we have the Lord. Yes, we can say with the psalmist David, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And one of the great blessings that flow to us from keeping this great promise before us is contentment in our Christian life. Contentment, yes, will keep us from covetousness. And it will also help us through all the trials and the providences of life, whatever come our way. The Bible says, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." And believer, whenever you face trials, and none of us are immune from difficulties, on account of the very fact that the Lord is with you, pray for a contented spirit. Paul said, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be contented." Just didn't come automatically to Paul. He had to learn in the school of contentment. And you and I must also learn to be content with our lot in life as God's people. But Christian, when a trial comes your way and something presses in upon your soul, pray on account of the fact that the Lord is with you. Pray for that contented spirit. What a blessing it is to be contented as God's people in our lot in life. And then also there is the blessing of Christian confidence. Look at how verse 6 begins, following on from our text. It says, "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper." And by the believer, yes, who is conscious of the Lord's presence, will be confident. Confident in all their Christian service, no matter what obstacles or roadblocks lie before them in their life. You remember the message of the Lord to the remnant that had returned in the day of the prophet Haggai. He said in Haggai chapter 2, verse 4, he says, "Be strong and work,
for I am with you. Encourage them to get on with the work of rebuilding the temple that had been spoiled and razed to the ground during the siege of Nebuchadnezzar many years before. But he says, now that you've returned, get on with the work in hand before you. He says, be strong and work. He says, for I am with you. Believer, as you serve the Lord, remember this, that the Lord is with you. May it spur you on, Christian, in your service for God. The Lord is with you. And in being with you, the Lord, Christian, will give you the wisdom that you need to serve him. He'll give you the grace that you need. He'll give you the help that you need. He'll give you the strength that you need. He'll give you the wherewithal to serve him. What an encouragement to serve the Lord in whatever way we can, because the Lord has promised to be with us. And then there's also, we see here, the blessing of Christian courage. Look at the latter part there of verse number 6 of Hebrews chapter 13. Paul the apostle goes on and says, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And what's the lesson here? The lesson is this: the person who realizes and is aware that the Lord is with them, they will not fear man or beast. They will not fear man or storm. You remember Daniel, a young man in captivity. Remember the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They went into the lion's den. They went into the fiery furnace. Why? Because they knew the Lord was with them. The Lord would not fail them nor forsake them. And they were given great courage to stand against the tide of false religion and ungodliness when there were captives down in the land of Babylon. Because they knew the Lord was with them. You remember David when he went out to face Goliath. David was just a young lad, I reckon about 17 years of age. King Saul and all the armies of Israel were afraid. They turned their back in front of Goliath and the Philistine army. And they were fearful. They were in trepidation. But it wasn't so with David. No, the shepherd boy. Why? Because of this truth in our text today, dear people. Because he knew the Lord was with him. What did he say as he went out to Goliath in 1 Samuel 17, verse 45? He says there, I come to thee, he said, in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he was not deterred, even though others had mocked him and told him to go home and to go away from the battlefield. He said, is there not a cause? And he went forward courageously to face Goliath. You think of David Livingstone, the missionary to Africa of a bygone day. There was once an occasion when he was overcome with great fear in his missionary endeavors. But his courage was revived, how? By reading the words of Matthew 28, verse 20. When the Lord says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. It spurred him on, gave him fresh courage in his labors for God. Turn with me, Christian, back to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41, please. Back in the middle part of the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 41. And look with me, please, at verse number 10 of Isaiah chapter 41. It says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Christian, just think of that verse there before you. Believer, in the meeting this morning, are you afraid? Afraid perhaps because of some trial in your life, some changing circumstance, some situation? Maybe some new service, some new thing is coming your way as a believer, as a Christian, and you're fearful today. You're in intrepidation today. But child of God, rests upon this promise. This is a promise from the Lord to you today. He says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Whatever the lot is in life, whatever the circumstance, whatever the new avenue, new change might be that is coming your way as a Christian believer, rest upon this promise, and you will know in your heart of hearts that peace of God that passeth all understanding. For the Lord has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. As we close this morning, if you're here in the meeting, you're still on sea, please realize today, as you sit in this meeting, or indeed as you listen in online, you're not saved, realize this, that you are without Christ. You're separated from Christ. You are without God. The Bible says you are without hope in this world, and in your unsaved condition, you're on the broad way, the crowded road, to a lost eternity in hell, to the place of the lake of fire, to the eternal judgment place of God. And if Christ is to be your Savior in life, indeed, if you are to be with the Lord forever in heaven, then now in time you must repent of your sin before God and trust Christ as Savior. Yes, Christ died on the cross. He shed his blood for the salvation of sinners like you and like me. The Bible speaks of Christ and says he gave his life a ransom for many. That speaks of the sacrifice of Christ. What does the sacrifice of Christ mean to you today? Shortly we're going to gather around this table where we break bread and drink the wine and remember Christ, especially what he's done for us on the cross of Calvary. But I ask you the question, what does Christ mean to you? Is he your Savior today? Is he your Redeemer? Are you depending on Christ today? Depending on the blood of Christ for the blotting out of your sin? Oh, if you're not saved today, I urge you, flee to Christ today. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Don't put off the matter of salvation to tomorrow, for none of us are sure of tomorrow. This day, seek the Lord for salvation. Trust him as your Redeemer. You will know him indeed as a friend that will stick closer than any brother. You will know, yes, the reality of this great promise in your life when you trust him as Savior. And he says, for I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. We're going to close our meeting with a word of prayer. If you're not saved today, I urge you today to come to the Lord, to trust him for salvation, and call upon him today to save you. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us around the word of God today. And for this great jewel, this great promise, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We thank thee, Lord, indeed it is our staff and life as God's people. Help us to lean upon it day by day. And whatever changing circumstances in life come our way, we thank thee that, Lord, one that does not feel nor forsake the child of God. And for any in our meeting today not saved out of Christ, Lord, speak to them. May they not leave rejecting Christ, but may they embrace him and trust him today for salvation. Bless us around this table, Lord, after this meeting is over. Bless all who will stay as we remember Christ afresh. Draw very near, tabernacle with us, we pray. But for any who cannot stay with us, bless them on their homeward journey and return us again in thy will this evening to our gospel meeting. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious and wonderful name. Amen and amen. We're going to close our meeting by singing together the hymn number 579. It's really a hymn in keeping just with the promise of our great text this morning. It says, I will never leave thee, I will never thee forsake, I will guard and save and keep thee for my name and mercy's sake. Fear no evil, fear no evil. Only all my counsel take, for I'll never, never leave thee. I will never thee forsake. We'll keep our seats while we sing, and I'll be just going to the door to greet any that are leaving. I'll be outside to greet you, but if you cannot stay for the Lord's table, then feel free to leave just after the singing of this first verse. We'll be glad to greet you as you leave, but we encourage as many as possible also to remain behind and remember the Lord's death in his own appointed way. Thank you. Thank you.